Yes, g'day punters. Welcome to the GreatTipOff.com YouTube channel. We're going to feature the 2024 Golden Slipper. And who else better to get on board and have a chat about the Golden Slipper than Dean Watling from DeanWatling.com. Good afternoon, Dino.
Afternoon, Gano, and afternoon all the listeners out there. I'm up and about. I've been a little bit crook this week, but the Golden Slipper is one of my favourite races. The build-up, the hype, the trying to figure it out over the last couple of months, all the way back to the Jim Crack and the Breeders when we first see the two-year-olds. And this year, I would suggest it's one of the better slippers going around, Gano, so I can't wait to dissect it with you, my friend.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We're going to go through all 16 and the emergency 17 runners, have a chat about their chances, have a chat about the speed map. We want to hear from you, though. Give us your trifecta in the Golden Slipper. Put that in the comments page below. Your comments are our oxygen. It'll keep us coming back and producing these shows for you. Hey, Dino, give us a bit of a... you are the resident stats man. Give us not just of thegreattipoff.com, of Twitter, of DeanWatling.com and every other various media outlet that you are sharing your services with. Give us some stats for the Golden Slipper and what do we expect and what's the profile that might provide the winner this year?
Yep, I love the historical profile of these big races. You can go back and look through history and often gives you a pattern. We touched on this with the Blue Diamond, which come out to be fruition. The slipper is pretty straightforward in the sense of the key lead-ups, where you want to be in the run, and the type of horses. So the key lead-ups, obviously, the Todman Stakes, it's superior to all the other races coming into this. We see, obviously, Switzerland won that straight charge in for second. A couple of others come out of that. Forward of midfield is a definite advantage. I think first 16 running has come to be sort of 12 of the last 15 winners have been a forward of midfield, which is sort of 6+ in running, which a lot of the key chances have been. Fencing run's an interesting one. It's definitely not a disadvantage. We saw the last two winners, Fireburn and Shinzo, shoot up on the fence. Outside of that, there's a couple of key ones with the barriers. In the last 2 years, barrier one has been the winner. We've seen over the last sort of 15 years, I think seven out of the last 15 have drawn gate one and two. Stormboy draws that. Suits the profile. So there's a key lead up for that, albeit the Todman doesn't have to be the lead up. We saw last year, we saw Shinzo on the quick backup coming out of the Pago. Pago, favourite this year, comes out of the Skyline. He's a unique horse. But in saying that, if we follow a little bit of that profile, I think we'll lead our way to the winner. Albeit this year, the market's pretty much got it bang on, I think, Gunnar.
Yeah, there should be some comfort for punters out there that Rose Hill 1200 metres plays pretty much one way and one way only, and that includes the 1100 meter start. But we are talking about the Golden Slipper, of course, and that is you want to be up on speed, and the shortest way home and the quickest way home is along the rail, and that's proven to be at Group 1 level and even at maiden level on a midweek or on a Saturday. So that's the place where you want to be. It's the shortest run home, and if you haven't seen the Rose Hill track, do yourself a favor, Google it, Rose Hill Racecourse, and go to the images, and you'll be able to see why it's such an advantage to be on speed and up on the rail. Now, Dino, we did an all-in show on Monday, and the forecast was to be 20 mils of rain on Wednesday. It's now Wednesday, just before lunchtime we are recording this. There is now no more rain forecast for Rose Hill for the day. They'd be lucky to would have had a mil today. There is no more rain forecast Thursday, Friday, and 0-1 on Saturday, and there was 8 mils, 0-8 on Saturday. So Lou will be blowing up Deluxe because he reckons that we're liars and we've thrown him off and he's got everything wrong for his morning lion show. I suggest, Louis, moving forward, that you don't reference Dean and I as weather presenters. However, we are just reading off the Bureau of Meteorology, which appears to be as wrong as often as we are as tipsters. So,
yeah, it's true.
That said, slow seven at the moment, Dean, and, well, shouldn't say slow. It's not slow anymore. Soft seven and drying conditions now all week, and there's not a chance they put a bit of irrigation on. I think that we, at worst, would be on the best side of a six and most likely a five. And if it's a five come Friday afternoon, there's a chance you might get an upgrade to a four later in that meeting. I'm very comfortable assessing it on a soft five. How about you?
Yep, I think soft five's the way to go. I think soft five probably suggests the track will be bang on fair. I would say if it got to sort of a good four, good three, potentially rails in run will be critical. But I think a soft five suggests maybe sort of that spot off the rails, which they typically do in the slip. They sort of can undersweep underneath them. But yep, I think soft five's a perfect outcome for all of us. Considering the start of the week, I thought we were on heavy eight, heavy nine for a golden slipper, which is an absolute disaster.
Yep. So we got ourselves a good track. We got ourselves an assessment of how the track's going to play on the day. Let's have a look at the market here. Odds courtesy of Hotbet. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Storm Boy, one of six, potentially seven horses for Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott leads the market $2.15 with Hotbet Switzerland $4.20 straight charge $10. Lady Camelot, interestingly enough, $10 with Hotbet. Hayasugi 17, Espionage 18, Fully Lit 26, Shangri-La Express 26, longer the rest, Dino. Look, we'll have a chat on what horses are betting prospects now, and maybe some place bets and some way you can play those exotics later on in the day there. Anything stand out to you off the top with those odds, or are you playing a straight bat to it at the moment?
It's tricky. Obviously, you try to find something, but sometimes the obvious is where you want to go. So I think Storm Boy's well enough found. I think he's bang on his price. When we start shorter, I'm not too sure. Switzerland, he potentially starts shorter, but in saying that, I think the top two in the market are pretty bang on their price. I think there's a little bit of value to be found maybe in a place market or something a little bit wider if, say, Storm Boy misses it and Switzerland's not up to his best. I think the two at odds that I could suggest a little spec on, Lady of Camelot, albeit comes from Blue Diamond, which isn't the profile. I thought she was big odds at $11. She's going to be up on speed. And the other one, straight charge, $11. He was as good, if not better, than Switzerland in the Todman. If you go back and read through sort of how the race was run, I thought his run was as good, if not better. He was sort of pestered up on lead, had to set that brutal tempo, and it was a sitting duck, and he's still sort of stuck on. So I think straight charge is the one each way currently that you could make a case for Gano yourself.
Yeah, found it really hard. Keen to sort of digest the information that you've got today for us, and also just sort of have a look, chat at the speed maps in regards to, horses that we can bet right now. We have early on we identified Storm Boy as a bet. We all identified Switzerland as a bet. I think another one it was Shangri-La Express that I found earlier on, which is now over. So out of the three horses that I've been pushing all along, two of them you've got first and second, and one's out the door. How does it sit now? How do we play it? Well, it's very different now, depending if you have those futures plays or if you're just here playing the race as it is. We're going to assess the race as it is, and hopefully we can steer you into a result for the Golden Slipper. Those odds are courtesy of Hotbet. For free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Dino, the speed map here, it's interesting. I'm going to kick it off. I'll read out what I think the speed map looks like, and then you can have a, give your opinion here. But Fully Lit Barrier One, I don't think they'll be leading after what happened in the Black Opal. I think that they have probably proven this horse can't handle that much sustained speed, and sorry, that much early pressure, I should say. Granted, that was a 29-day back up into that run, but I think that they'll be a little bit soft on it and give it its best chance to run over the, run over the top of them or run a top four position. Storm Boy can be a little bit slow out, but gee whiz, after four or five strides, he's right there. And Shangri-La Express is the horse that I expect to lead them up in this race with straight charge coming across from the outside, and Lady of Camelot probably sitting in the 1-1. How did you see the speed map? Was it similar to me?
Yeah, very similar. I think you could probably take a flip. The interesting thing with the jockeys, we've got to understand the aggressiveness of them. Sam Clipperton on Fully Lit, he's not the most aggressive jockey. So depending how slow away Storm Boy is, I think he'll lead the race no matter what. I think Lady Camelot potentially sits outside of him. That's probably the change that I have. And then probably in behind that, straight charge could potentially take the 1-1. Or you could flip them around. Straight charge sits outside. Lady Camelot gets a perfect sit in behind them. I think you nailed it. Shangri-La Express back on the rails with Fully Lit. Switzerland probably gets the gun run. And the interesting one is it's potentially going to be a three wide line, a big field, a lot of
Has to
on-speed
be.
horses. I thought
Yeah.
it has to be. So I thought Proust and Dublin Downs are probably the flag bearers for the two that would set that three wide line up, which is definitely crucial for a couple such as Espionage and that they get back in the field. But I think the first sort of forward running were pretty bang on, agreeing with Lady Camelot, straight charge, Fully Lit, and Storm Boy there, Gunner.
Yep. Shangri-La Express as well. I think
Yeah,
you'll be right there.
exactly.
But I think what the moral of the story here is that I don't know how many horses are going to take on, how many other stables are going to take on the Waterhouse Bot stable. We've just named five potential leaders and they've all come from that stable. So Doubling Down is a horse on the quick backup, Dino. However, led it at even clip, but it wasn't something that I screamed, I want to lead a Golden Slipper from barrier 13, potentially comes into 12. Didn't scream that to me. However, Huey Bowman's there, and it wouldn't shock to see at least he'll have a look and see what's happening. I have a sneaky suspicion, and this is just gut feel, and it can often be wrong, that I think that all Waterhouse bought horses will make their presence felt early, and then there'll be a mid race just before they get to that turn, a bit of a slowdown. And as they're circling, you don't want to be trying to go around them. So they'll go hard early. All of them, they'll get a little bit of a breather. And I think the one you want to be on is the ones that are going to be getting that breather along the rail. And then they'll just fan at the home turn and it may be the best horse win. I think the barrier draw's fallen into their hands. If they had have drawn four of the five widest gates, it'd be a very, very different story, but they've drawn four of the inside five gates, and that's a big, big advantage in this race, Dino. Hey, that's the speed map. That's the speed map chat advantage. Every horse basically drawn seven and in. And
Who are
one
the
thing
big
I would.
losers for you, Gatto? Speaking of a speed map.
Yeah, well, Doubling Down for sure. Rue de Royale, Aniz is the biggest loser. Heyasugi, disaster.
Cast.
Because this is a Rose Hill 1200 meters. So your only option from out there is handlebars down, and you're not going to be able to get past those. You're not going to be able to get
No.
past Straight Charge in nine, Lady Camelot, who basically, or didn't lead, but I think got carved up by Spywire, but that essentially did all but lead a Blue Diamond, Shangri-La Express. You're not going to lead them up if they want to go forward, and they're going to want to go forward. So, and these are, they're going to have to go back. And that means you're probably going to be caught three wide around that track. It's not, if it was three wide at Randwick, like
Different story. So that's where you want to
completely different game. It's a place to
be.
be,
Yeah, it
but
is.
this is just a disaster for any horse drawn, basically outside of nine. It's a disaster. What I will say is on the two Waterhouse bought horses, which is funny, it's worked out. Espionage and Prost, assuming Espionage gets a run, they're probably the two that are versatile enough to make a run from behind anyway. So they're probably the two that are suited by the speed map. So if I'm Gay or Adrian sitting back there tonight, I'd just be very, very happy with ourselves the way this barrier draw has unfolded.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
It's fantastic for them. And look, I think it's quite good for Switzerland as well. However, my
Definitely.
minor concern is you do have Craig Williams on Traffic Warden just drawn inside you, who's going to want to be get this exactly the same spot that you're after. And well, he's a man on a mission, Willow, especially when we get these big races. So he won't make James's job easy for him. And I think that Traffic Warden will trying to be get that three pairs back running line spot that J Mac will be after. And I think J Mac might just have to cop four pairs back the running line. And that's not the end of the world either in a fast run race. But he will then have to make, he will be a length off where he wants to be and have to make that run late. But let's dive into them, Dino. Let's kick off straight from the top, Storm Boy. We have chatted a lot about these horses anyway. If any more to add, then we'll add it. Otherwise, we'll just go past them. But your Storm Boy, your $2.15 favorite there with Hobbet. He's done it all. He's produced the best figures in leading into this, be it in the Magic Millions. I think he's got plenty left in the tank. When I spoke to Adrian Bott at Rose Hill a few Wednesdays ago, his suggestion was the horse has improved. If the horse improves what he's done off that Magic Millions from this draw, it's game, set, match. What do you think?
Yep, I think you summed it up perfectly. If he jumps, I think the first 50 meters he jumps, it's all over. He brings an SB profile, he brings the ratings. To split him in Switzerland, in my mind, you look at the ratings. So he's winning the Skyline rated as well as here, Switzerland's winning the Todman. Who has more improvement? I dare say Storm Boy probably had three, four lengths up his sleeve. We've got to take that into account. Switzerland, yes, has improvement to come, but looking at the two, if you put them bang next to each other with the exact same running last start, I'd say Storm Boy has the tactical advantage, the map advantage, and more substance to come. I think every ingredient you want out of Super Winner, he has. I think that just the first 50 meters is everything for him. I doubt you'll want to be three, four pairs back on the inside just with the stablemates and just how good straight charge Lady Camelot Switzerland are going. Albeit if he jumps, I think, like you said, game set match for Stormboy.
Yeah, I think you generally have to miss it like a length to be four pairs back the rail. Like, I don't think it's a concern. Like, yes, he's been slow into like first step. But after, like, it's genuinely after five strides, he's there. Ryan Moore, well, they tell me he's the best in the world. So, and he's aware of the situation. So I think he'll be up to the task. Mate, I tell
And
you.
he's had 4 weeks between runs, so I dare say in those 4 weeks, I think he would have had a lot of jump outs out of the barriers.
Correct. The other thing I was going to say is the question was posed to me this morning, Storm Boy. What happens if he's in behind a runner and in the 1-1 or leaders back, and he's at a disadvantage? And he's never raced that way. Will he over race? The justifiers don't like it. They like being outside runners. And I thought to myself, yeah. But then I do remember coming up with Adrian at some stage, and I can't remember when, but the most important bit of information is I think they are prepared for this. I think there has been a couple of pieces of, if there hasn't, I'm sure there would have been thought of this of some track work where he's in behind a horse, Dino. And you might remember more than me, but I'm pretty sure that's been covered off at track work, and they've tried to recreate that. If they haven't, I'm sure. If they haven't told us, I'm sure they have done it anyway.
And he's good enough. We're not talking about a horse having its first start. I think he had
No.
similar setup in the Magic Millions, very sort of in behind horses. He wanted to over race a little bit, et cetera,
Yeah.
but he's a horse who's funny. He's not a horse who travels up on the bridle and puts him away by 10 lengths without flinching. He's a horse you get stuck into, and that's when he finds. So I just think he's fine. I think the only jink is potentially Ryan Moore not understanding him, that he's a horse who doesn't travel up the bridle, get stuck into him, and he'll keep finding. Albeit he's the best jockey in the world, and he rode Shinzo last year, so that's probably not a point to
Yeah, so we're trying to find holes, and I don't think we have any. So he looks pretty much bomb-proof, and the $2.15, well, I had him marked $1.90, so it's $2.15, the pot bet is a bet. Hey, let's go to our next runner in the race, fully lit, $26, compounded after having a bit of pressure applied to him in the Black Opal, albeit that was, I think, a 29-day break between runs, now 13 days, perfect barrier. A horse for mine that can run top four if blessed in run, which I assume he's probably going to be, Dino.
Yeah, I think if you're looking for place chances, you're looking for horses who map well, and he does, albeit it comes out of the Black Opal. I don't think that's a key lead up this year. I would happily be against him. I think he's going to maybe compound late, albeit, like you mentioned, does get a good run in transit.
Yeah, like a genuine, you might sneak him into your top fours. Might, but yeah, you wouldn't be rushing off to do
No.
it. Shangri-La Express, a horse that I was very, very keen on early doors. I think he burnt the candle at both ends early on. I think it would have been his second career start in the English Golden Gift, I believe. Then he came out and look, he's been all right. He's been all right at his two runs. He hasn't been fully wound up. However, his ratings have continued to improve. I think he'll improve a length or two of maybe a length, I think, is probably fair of what he's done, but the others will improve as well. If he can show that improvement from the great draw, I think he's definitely a horse that can finish in the top four. Far better chance than Fully Lit. How did you see Shangri-La Express at the $26 quote, Dino?
He comes out of the Piero first up, obviously second behind Switzerland, but he's really good there. And then he comes through the Todman, so that's the key lead up. Third behind Switzerland, straight charge. It brings the right profile. He's got a great map. He's going to find the rail. He can undertake and overtake. And the only sort of slight jink in his armour is back towards the inside. I just don't know if he's a horse who probably prefers a firmer surface with his racing pattern. But in saying that, I think he's another bomb-proof one. Has he got the ability? I'm not sure. Place chance, definitely. Win chance, I would dare say not.
Yep, it'd be interesting to see what they do. I think he's the one that will lead. I think he'll lead. I think he'll find the rails. And whether or not it then becomes Storm Boy outside leader or Straight Charge outside leader, I'm not too sure how that'll unfold. But I think he's the one that leads, and I think he does his best work out in front. And I think he wants to be under pressure. And I think we'll see the best version of him. Is the best version of him enough to win? Well, That's the question that will be answered on Saturday. Number four, Rutareol, $151. Happy to go around this horse, Dino, real quick. Barry is a disaster, and I had him marked $121 and probably could have had him longer, to be fair. Traffic Warden, $34. I think that's about the right quote for this horse. Comes out of the Blue Diamond.
Yep, Blue Diamond obviously won last start over 1,400 metres, back to 1,200 metres in a high-pressure golden slip bar. That reads well, albeit, is it going to be high pressure? I think if we saw the sort of top four or five chances in the race, all for different stables, all with speed, you could definitely guarantee it's going to be high pressure. They all come from the same stable. So that's the query for me. It's not the right profile historically. In saying that, if they overdo it, he could be going there late. My big negative is he's had a couple of setbacks his prep, albeit one last start. It just doesn't bring the traditional golden super profile. So I would happily be against him, albeit it draws well.
Yeah, I think the 1,400 metres back to 1,200 metres, not sure if I like it as a profile, but... And then that Blue Diamond...
And he was blessed last start with a terrific ride with Jay Carr.
Yeah, correct. And he, and you know, brings that was Ruta, I think was it Ruta Royale was the horse
ran second.
Second. We're potting it, so I think we've got to be potting Traffic Warden, albeit draws for a really nice run. Straight Charge, number six, $10. Horse that I think was a bit of a forgive last start. I thought had merit to his second placing there, and. Look, that was behind Switzerland, who's second favourite. So I think you could probably add a length improvement off that. Did it the hard way. You just got to be willing to sort of accept that you're going to have to do a lot of work from, even though it's a nice barrier, a lot of work there early because there's plenty of pace horses there. I think $10, gee whiz, is probably for mine, and I know you probably have a different opinion, I think is a little short of his true price.
Yeah, I'd probably go the opposite way. I thought his run against Switzerland last start, if you reference that, was as good, if not better. We've got to understand that they sort of went three, four lengths fast and average to the six. He was carved up by the Queensland horse. Then we saw Switzerland sit back and just lick his lips and go, keep going, fellas. I'll run over the top ears. He stuck on, was only beaten a small margin. So we talk about Switzerland. If it gets posted three wide, I think the best thing about Straight Charge is going to be at the front, handles all conditions. That inside isn't the place to go. He's going to have first shot at getting to the best lane. So I could mark him a little bit short. I think around $6, $7 I could probably mark him compared to Switzerland if we reference him $4. I think he's the one in the race who's a definite danger to Stormboy and Switzerland Gunner.
Yep, just for reference, I had him mark $13 at the $10. It's not wild.
No.
But
he'd probably start 13, to be honest.
he could. Yeah. He very much could. All right, let's go through to the second favourite, Switzerland, $4.40 with Hotbet. Give us your thoughts on Switzerland, mate.
I think you have made the best point I've heard all week in regards to the speed map. If Craig Williams pushes this horse three wide, I think it's all over. If he's got to land a pair further back, four pairs back, I think he's in trouble. If he lands three pairs back on the outside, I think it is dead set game on. Brings a terrific profile, comes from Todman, unbeaten, SP profile, everything's terrific. And we saw his setup, he's similar to Stormboy, where I think he'll be a better 14, 1600 meter horse in time. And all of his late splits over the 1200 meters and on fast tempos have been terrific. So I think he'll lap up that genuine speed up front. But I think everything comes down to where he lands in run. You've got James McDonald in the saddle though, Gunner.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's the point. If I think he's going to have to settle. Four pairs back the running line, which is fine. You know, that's fine. But I think the biggest concern there is the quality of horse he has in front of him, and he has to get past a couple of them. And there might be a few falling back at that point. It's just going to be difficult. And then it all becomes price, you know, relative. He is clearly the second best horse in the race. He can beat Stormboy if things go wrong for Stormboy. But I think it would have to be more about things went wrong for Stormboy. Things go right for Switzerland. I think if things go right for Switzerland and things go right for Stormboy, Stormboy is clearly the one, and the market suggests that. So you don't have to be a genius to make that statement.
Nope.
Mick?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, gee whiz. Sometimes I just surprise myself. Hey, Bodyguard, horse number eight, you're getting $34 about this galloper. And, well... I don't know, Dino. What are your opinion here? Was Wasn't too bad in a Blue Diamond Prelude.
Yep, won the Blue Diamond Prelude. Obviously, scratch out the Blue Diamond. Potentially lameness wasn't. Went to the top in 2 lengths off Switzerland and straight charge. That read well. That reads well. I think gate 10 doesn't read that bad either. Probably just blends in five, six pairs back on the outside. Is he good enough to win the race? I dare say if you're going to swap these leaders out in front, something's going to have to happen to them. They're either going to go too fast, compound, or I'm not sure to be able to run over the top. I suggest he's maybe a length or two off these, you know?
Yeah, I'd say opinion. Although that Blue Diamond Prelude run was good, like really good, rated really well, had issues. If he can improve off that Blue Diamond Prelude run, which I think he can improve a length off that, and the stable, Snowden's have done it a few times. They've had these horses just primed. Not that all these horses aren't primed for this, but they're a stable that can really do it. I had him marked $25. So you're getting $34. He's a horse that you have to include in your first fours if you're going to play that way. Doubling down, we talked about this horse, number nine, $51. I had it marked longer than that. I'm not interested in playing at all. However, it does have some positives. Quick backup, 7 day backup, and has the win under his belt last start.
Yeah, we can probably touch on Doubling Down and Coleman, the following runner, in the same breath. They both come out of Pago Pago. Doubling Down won. Coleman was the eye catcher. That race rated 2-3 lengths off a Todman and was run at a pretty subdued tempo. This is going to be a complete opposite. That's my concern for Coleman. I don't think he's a 1200-meter out-and-out horse, especially on a fast tempo. Doubling Down, like you mentioned, there's a couple of positive, quick backup, rolls forward, but the gates are negative. So happily to be against both those. You know, any opinion, Coleman?
No. Happy to let them both go without me. And of course, Coleman, 50, $41. Homes of Court, number 11, $51. A horse that probably had the absolute perfect run in a black opal. Was just set up terrifically for it. But all the horse could do is win. Dino has drawn well enough. Might have some scope for improvement off that, but I don't know how much. And I think genuinely probably could definitely be a longer price than $51. I think if the bookies get generous, they might get closer to sort of 70s and beyond. How do you see Homes of Court?
Yeah, I think they'll take on that black oval setup. Like you mentioned, got every single favour. Does get a nice map. I think that's a big positive if you like the horse. But I think 2 to 3 lengths off this type or this race, gonna.
Very good. Number 12, Prost, the horse that I thought was over the odds earlier in the week. I still think at $34 with Hotbet, it is still over the odds, Dino. You're getting $7 a place. It was a horse that was, in and amongst, I think it was at Switzerland. Sorry, Storm Boy. My apologies. So many of these horses going around. It was Storm Boy, and it wasn't too far off Storm Boy last start. I thought it was probably one that we could follow. It was hitting the line well, albeit that Giovanna ran third, beaten 2.6 and came out was a bit flat, but I think we could probably forgive that Duvana run as the more of a just a run around a trial sort of setup. Not that that would ever happen, of course. But Prost was a horse that was 1.4 off Storm Boy, has some improvement in it. Was I think 28 days off that Storm Boy run. Now gets here, 21 days gets Adam Hieronymus aboard, who we know is going to be very, very hungry to get one over Storm Boy, no doubt. And if there's plenty of speed in the race, he'll be the one flying at them late from midfield. What do you think?
Yeah, look at his form, and it's pretty much faultless. He ran third on debut in the Breeders' Plate behind Espionage and Straight Charge. That ties him well. He won first up in his preparation to be Traffic Warden and Fearless. That reads well. And then he ran second to Storm Boy last up. The form guide suggests that last start was a good form, but you go and watch that. And that was that really sticky ground. At Randwick, I'd suggest a firmer deck suits him better. I think the key to his chances is Doubling Down. If Doubling Down sets that 3-wide line, he can tuck in behind and get cover off the back of Doubling Downs. I think he is a red hot place chance, a Proust, you know?
Love it. All right, let's go to number 13, Heyasugi. Number 13, lucky for some, not so lucky for those who are at the barrier draw. Managed to draw barrier number 16, May coming to 15, and currently $17. Look, a really dynamic winner of the Blue Diamond. Now gets here fourth up and has just drawn terribly, and they're going to have to go back. and they're going to have to hope that they go the as quick as they've ever gone in a blue diamond, in a golden slipper and more. And it showed in the blue diamond. She showed that she could handle the high pressure race, and I think she'll be flushing home, but she'll be one of those runners, unfortunately, that's most likely beaten by the barrier.
Yeah, I think you summed it up. She could be the one that maybe finishes 3-4 lengths off them, but makes up a tremendous amount of ground. It's hard to knock her. I've knocked her a couple of starts, but I'm scared of her now. She just keeps raising the bar. Hope she runs well. Terrific story. $40,000 yearling out of a no-name overseas sire. But like you mentioned, Gates win big races, and his history shows, in the Golden Slipper, the Gates are everything. So I'd be heavily against her from that draw, unfortunately.
Yeah, she had an average draw. I think it was barrier 10 at Crawford over 1,200, but Crawford 1,200 is a vastly different setup from barrier 15 or 16 in a Rose Hill Golden Slipper, which we have touched on, and we will continue to touch on, because that is pretty much the major element and factor to winning chances of this race, Dino. Number 14, speaking of winning chances, a horse that was pestered a little bit in the Blue Diamond, but also was made to work, Lady of Camelot, who, well, I think she's off of 28 days. She's off of 28 days. She gets Blake Shin, 54 kilos with a 2 kilo allowance from barrier 5. Has to be there or thereabouts, Dino.
Yeah, it doesn't bring the traditional lead up coming through a Blue Diamond, but I think that's just the Woodhouse and Box Stable being a bit of a victim of their own success. They had too many horses. That to send one down there. She went down there. Excuse me. She probably wins the race, to be honest, if Spy Wire doesn't knock her off. Is she shorter price if she wins the Blue Diamond? Yes. She's got a lovely gate. A tick over trot. Hawkshire was phenomenal. I think she's going to have every possible chance. I think she is an easy place bet to have in the race, and she has to go in your first fours and trifectas, etc. I can't find her knock for her gunner, can you?
No, absolutely no knock, other than she just isn't quite up to them. That's my only knock.
Yeah.
But you know, she's definitely in your top four, in your first fours. There's absolutely no doubt about it. Blake Shin, Blake came up for a Hawksby trial, I believe.
Yep.
And so he's had a little spin around on Lady of Camelot. Did you catch the trial? It was a 2.8 length trial
slick
win. Just nice and
very
slick. What you'd expect of
yep.
a horse at this stage of their preparation going towards a Golden Slipper.
Exactly.
That's for sure. Number 15, Manal, a horse that I had a bit of time for, draws terribly. That's a shame. Very, very good last start. A very good start prior against the perceived bias, then came out and got the job done on a soft five. It was good. Still had plenty of room for improvement from this Michael Freeman stable, but the draw, unfortunately, is my big knock on her, and I think she is one that will be flying home alongside Hayasugi and will be there going, oh, what if they drew a barrier?
Yeah, it's a bit sad if your connection's in the stable, because I think she's got ability. I don't think she's up to winning the race. And then you look at the gate and you go, well, that's even worse. So nice filly. I think she'll make a really nice three-year-old. But like you said, I can't see her winning from there. And number 16 and Ease is similar. Gunner, we'll touch on her. Gate 15, she's a really nice filly. She's obviously really good in a Blue Diamond. But the gate just leaves you not many options. I think they're both nice fillies, but the gates just pretty much ruin their chances, don't they?
What I'll say on Manal is you have one Jay Collett there, and that's barrier 17. And what I like, if it was a flip of the coin, if I give me $1.95 either side, I'll be having $1.95. I'll be backing the $1.95 with everything I've got, that he will restrain. He'll go to the rail. He'll be spotting them 18, maybe 15 lengths at some stage. And then he will just hunt up. And just if they fan, they just do something silly, or the rail's just a little bit off, and they just get too far off. One Jay Collett, he'll be searching for that run, and yeah, it'd be a spectacle. It'd be good to see, because I think the horse actually has a stack of ability, and I think it's just such a shame that it's drawn there in this race. But in saying that, they've all got to get a barrier, don't they? Righto, Aniza, number 16. You've covered Aniza there. Espionage, the emergency, Dino, $18. It's a shame to see this horse not getting the race, but that's a story and an argument for another day as to why it didn't. Be nice to see, I guess, horses who win certain races get exemptions in. And I think nice and early in the season when you are winning a Breeders, it'd be a nice race to sort of get an exemption. But hey, so be it. What happens to this horse if it gains a start?
Yeah, it's tricky from gate 12. It brings a very similar profile to Stay Inside for me. Obviously, really good first up behind Straight Charge, a bit sticky. They took a sit in behind Straight Charge, and the length that they lost when they took the sit was the length, the difference in the end. And then had a really luckless time in the tournament, which Stay Inside did, and then obviously Stay Inside come out to win a Golden Slipper, albeit drew a good gate. They're very similar horses in the sense they've got tactical versatility, go back, go forward. What do they do from the gate? That's a big question. They've got to make the field first. I think he's a definite top four chance if he makes the field, but I can't see anything else in the field coming out. So they need a horse to go lane to make it. Tommy Berry's on fire. But yeah, the gate makes it really, really tricky, Gunner.
Yep, there you go. Well, there's your 16 runners and an emergency for the 2024 Golden Slipper. We're about to give you our bets and our plays. Make sure you go to your local app store, download the Hotbet app. Remember what you could be buying instead. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelpline.org.au. Dino, give us your top four. And if I gave you 100 hypothetical dollars, how would you play?
All right, my top four. Number one, Storm Boy on top from Straight Charge from Switzerland from Lady of Camelot. $100. Oh, I'm going to play it simple straight back this year. I'm going to have the number one Storm Boy. I'd have $100 on him. I think it's his race to lose. I think we touched on it, trying to find holes, and there are none. They're all patched up. So that's the way I play the race, and that's my top four, Gunner.
Love it. Yep. Spend most of my life patching holes. And I think we've patched enough for Storm Boy here. I think he'll be winning the race. Storm Boy on top, Switzerland, the obvious there. And I found it hard outside of Straight Charge, Lady of Camelot, Prost, Bodyguard, Shangri-La Express. I thought they were all there, thereabouts. But, for the record, Storm Boy, Switzerland, Prost and Straight Charge. But if I was playing my my first fours, well, they're pretty obvious, isn't it? The horses I just read out there. Mate, absolute pleasure. Thanks for jumping on board, giving the punters a bit of insight into how you see the Golden Slipper. The fields are probably about to drop for the Randvet, the George Ryder, the Galaxy. Gee whiz, can also clarify that the meeting on Friday night is actually on a Saturday, so that'll keep Lewis really happy down at the Valley. And the Green Rare we speak of. Just on that, is there your thoughts on Imperatrix? Just a bit of bonus content for the punters. Your thoughts on Imperatrix and that wide gate?
Concerning, I could not take the price. If you like her, you're going to get a better price now, I hope, because she's poison odds currently from that draw. And then her two main rivals, IME and Bellini Bettina, draw great. So I don't think she's going as well. Bad draw, ask they shorter odds. It's a no from me, Gunner.
Yeah, really interesting, isn't it? I had a mark $2, and I haven't done a deep dive on the map yet, but it's horrible. So I could easily get it probably closer to $2.30, $2.40. Thought Cylinder, Bella Nipotina, probably the two biggest dangers of what they've been doing, and I really love Bella Nipotina from that draw back to the Valley. So I think
Me
if I was
too.
going to be having an early push, it would be Bella Nipotina. Well, let's just wait and see how we sort of arrive later on in the week and how that track's going to play. But Bellini Patina on top there for me. Dino, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you. Plenty of big races that we'll be covering across the autumn. Make sure you're subscribing to the greattipoff.com YouTube page. You'll get this as soon as it lands and you'll get everything all in and our previews. Dean Watling, get your stuff from deanwatling.com.
Yes, sir. Gunner, thank you for having me. Great show, great race. And don't forget, get your first fours or trifectas in the comments in order, please. I'd like to see them on Sunday when I wake up and see who's good and who's not.
Love it. You're a good man, Dino.
Cheers.
Bye for now.